So friends, you probably heard of the saying that if you say to someone, you have your blinders on. Have you heard this saying? You're wearing blinders. Right? Usually this saying is used in a negative sense, right? It's like I might say to a college student who comes to me for relationship advice, which for some reason they do. Even not that the celibate is some expert in this matter. But, you know, like, they might be in a relationship and, like, all their friends are telling them, this person is no good for you. This is a disaster. And so you might say, well, you've got blinders on. You know, you're too obsessed or consumed with the feeling of being loved that you're not seeing all of the bad things from a broader perspective. And so it's usually used in a negative sense to suggest that somebody's aloof, right? They don't know what's going on around them, or even in a selfish sense. Somebody's so narrowly focused on their own needs and desires that they aren't attentive to the needs and desires of those around them. I want to suggest today that to some degree, on some things, it's good to keep your blinders on. Now, I have to tell you, I didn't know that where the term blinders actually came from until rather recently. I was at home talking to my parents, and I don't know about you, but I discover new things about my parents' life before me all the time. And one of the things I discovered, which I didn't know till really recently, is my dad was into horse racing for a time, not betting on the horses, but he and his family actually had a racehorse that they took care of and raced in races. I didn't know anything about this, but it was within the context of this conversation that he used the term blinders. And I was like, now some of you probably already know this, but blinders are actually things that are put on the bridle or the harness of a racehorse that blocks the horse's eyes from seeing the other horses in the race. Okay, and so they're called blinkers or blinders, and that's where our term blinders come from, are these things on horses' eyes. And I thought about, in light of all three readings today, it would be really helpful if we kept our blinders on. That the more we're looking around at other people and comparing ourselves to other people, and to use another horsing term, jockeying for position in life, the more our hearts and eyes and minds are filled with comparison, with jealousy, with envy, with constantly seeing our status in relationship to other people, we will be distracted from the mission that the Lord has called us uniquely to. And so keep us on. I was thinking about this first with the gospel. I don't know, the first time I read it this week, it struck me like it never struck me before, that the disciples don't understand something Jesus says that is as clear as day to understand. You know, Jesus does speak sometimes in things that are difficult to understand. You know, we spend 2,000 years trying to understand Jesus' words, and sometimes he speaks in parables, and he's difficult to understand. But today he speaks really straightforwardly. He says to them, the Son of Man will suffer, be handed over, be killed, and on the third day he will be raised. And then the next line is, the apostles did not understand what he was saying. And it's like, what's so hard about understanding that? That's really straightforward. But then we learn like two verses later that along the way they were arguing about who was the greatest. And I couldn't help but make the connection, possible connection between those two, which is the reason they can't understand these really straightforward words of Jesus is because they are so distracted with the conversation regarding who's the best within the 12. When we are distracted by looking around in comparison at other people and how we're doing in relationship to them and so on, we cannot hear clearly what the Lord wants to say to us. Even if it's really straightforward, we're so distracted by comparison and jealousy and envy that we can't hear the clear thing that the Lord wants us to focus on and hear in our own lives. This is the theme of the second reading too. Where selfish ambition and jealousy exist, there ensues discord and conflict. And then we might just say, where a cooperative spirit exists, where everyone is on the same team trying to work together and doesn't really care who gets the credit, right? Their peace ensues. If we're constantly living in a place in which we're constantly looking around, right, to try and see where we're at in relation to others in a competitive spirit, conflict and division ensues. And we see ourselves as part of the same team on a mission in which we don't care who gets the credit, peace ensues. I want to give a shout out to the women's tennis coach who's over here, Tracy Montler, with all those cute kids with her. I was on the tennis team last Tuesday, and she gave a speech at the beginning. And it was really cool because she was saying that, now it's kind of hard because it was based on UT's football's big win at Mississippi State last week, and then they lost last night, which is a real bummer. But the point still stands. She was reflecting with the girls on how, like, as an early coach at Toledo in women's tennis, she sometimes was a little resentful and jealous of the notoriety that other programs get, right? And all of us tennis people know this. If you're in lesser sports, you kind of resent the fact that, like, football and basketball gets all the attention and all the NIL money. You know, that's not coming to women's tennis, I don't think, right? And she was talking about just honestly how she used to feel like if somebody else succeeded, it didn't often mean that they succeeded. But she came to the realization that if somebody at Toledo succeeds and thrives, then the women's tennis team succeeds and thrives. Whenever someone succeeds in the organization, everyone succeeds. Right? And that's how we're called to see the Christian life. That's how we're called to see other people in relation to us. Is like, if they're doing well, that is awesome. If they're growing, that's awesome. Because I have a unique, indispensable contribution to make that's only mine. And the more I'm comparing myself with my blinders off to everyone else around me, the more I'm incapable of seeing that I need to do my part, which is indispensable to the mission of the team. I remember reading it, and it's from the perspective of the wicked, plotting and scheming to bring down the righteous. And I was like, that doesn't apply to me. But then the more I was focused in on this theme, I was thinking, you know, if you are in a posture of comparing yourself all the time in jealousy and envy and resentment, you do start to sometimes think, you know, wouldn't it just be nice if they kind of weren't so great? Wouldn't it be kind of nice if they maybe failed every once in a while? Wouldn't it be kind of nice if I could get propped up and they could be lowered at some point? Right? That's the plotting of the wicked one, the one that says, you know what, I'm sick of this person, right, having success. Right? I want them to fail so that I can be elevated. The final thing, I think, is the psalm. The psalm brings us all to a culmination. The Lord upholds my life, just to bring it into English maybe more. The Lord holds up my life. It's the Lord who props us up. It's the Lord who elevates us. It's not ourselves looking around and trying to prop ourselves up in relation to other people so that they have to be pushed down so that I can be elevated. It's the Lord who gives us our purpose and gives us where we're called to be elevated and held up and propped up. And the more our eyes is fixed on that purpose, the indispensable contribution that I get to play in the mission of God, given the gifts and experiences that he's given me, and less concerned with our blinders off on what everyone else is doing, the more we can hear the voice of Jesus from the gospel, the more we can bring peace in our communities and families and relationships and not division, and the less time we'll spend plotting and scheming about other people's failure. And so I want to encourage us in this one area of comparison, right, to keep our blinders on. In many areas of life, we want to keep, we don't want blinders, right? We want a broad perspective. We want to look at things from a variety of angles. We don't want to have blinders on with our selfishness and being just concerned with our life. We want to have our blinders off. But in this issue of comparison and jealousy and envy, I want to encourage us, like the horse, to keep our blinders on, right? To be intensely focused on the race that's before us. St. Paul refers to our journey of faith as a race. To be intensely focused on the race that is before us, not looking around at jockeying for position, not constantly comparing, but content with the path that the Lord has called us to. And that's the path to peace. That's the path to understanding Jesus' teaching. And that's the path to a cooperative spirit which doesn't want others to fail. Let's keep our blinders on as we strive this week to know and to live the mission that God has for each one of us.